today and tomorrow are WRAL weather alert days. Both days, we have a level 2 risk for severe storms. I'll show you when to expect them.
Honoring the memory of public servants who put their lives on the line to keep us safe, city and state officials remember the fallen.
And another emergency involving a Boeing cargo plane. Where this happened and how the pilot handled the situation.
A community devastated and nearly 20 people injured after severe storms hit parts of western Michigan. The National Weather Service is headed to Kalamazoo County to survey the area and determine the strength of a suspected tornado there. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Luckily, those injuries are not considered life-threatening. Today and tomorrow are WRAL weather alert days due to our level 2 risk for severe storms. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at the rather unusual timeline for these storms.
We're going to see these storms starting this evening, and instead of fizzling out by midnight, they're going to continue all night into tomorrow morning, possibly as late as lunchtime tomorrow. We do have this level 2 risk across almost the entire state, definitely all of our viewing area. Damaging winds, heavy rain, and sometimes at the level 2, we see isolated tornadoes. In this situation, because we may see rain on and off for 12 hours, we could also see some minor flooding potentially again for tomorrow. And it's just going to be seamless. So we're going to continue to see the showers and thunderstorms without really a break once they begin. Here's a look at what's happening right now. We have severe thunderstorm watches in orange, warnings here in red, and this line of strong thunderstorms that's starting to develop ahead of this cold front, stretching all the way into North Carolina. This is a look at our severe thunderstorm watch. It does not include our viewing area. It lasts until 4 o'clock from Charlotte westward. We do have a couple of severe thunderstorm warnings right there on the spine of the mountains on the Tennessee-North Carolina line. So when will we see it? We're seeing quiet conditions right now. We'll see partly cloudy skies through the afternoon. Around 5 or 6 o'clock, we begin to see a few cells developing, but they intensify overnight. Watch how it really gets more intense, and we see a lot more coverage between 9 and midnight, and that continues on and off all night. There's 6 a.m., so it may be an issue during the morning commute where we're seeing heavy rain, possibly some active severe weather in the morning commute. And then gradually, as we get closer to lunchtime, it begins to fizzle out. Couldn't rule out a late day thunderstorm for tomorrow, but right now it looks like things should fizzle out after lunchtime. We're going to talk more about what happens after this and how much rain we could see with all of this coming up.
Today, a somber tribute was given to honor fallen officers. These were people who worked in the State Department of Adult Correction. WRAL's Chris Levengood watched that annual ceremony as it happened. And Chris, the timing of this event is especially important.
Well, and Jeff, that's because just last week, 4 law enforcement officers died in a shooting in Charlotte. And 2 of those officers worked for the DAC. They were Sam Paloci and Alden Elliott. Their names are going to be added to that memorial outside the Randall Building on West Morgan Street. Now, other names were read during the ceremony, along with words of reflection on the risks that law enforcement take every single day. And among the speakers was Governor Roy Cooper and the DAC Deputy Secretary of Workforce Management.
Despite being dealt tragedy, I think that spirit that unifies the department, I think it unifies all of us. Rallying together and coming together in times of crisis is the most important thing that we can do.
The ceremony lasted close to about half an hour and had moments of silence to honor the fallen. And during the ceremony, Governor Roy Cooper said that he thinks right now the officers who died would want people to advocate for the officers still living and working. That includes advocating for better pay, training, and equipment as well, Jeff.
Yeah, meaningful ceremony there. Incredible timing as well. Chris, thank you. A coordinated running effort tonight will honor the 4 law enforcement officers killed last week in Charlotte. The organization behind it is encouraging people to join in. 4 youth runners from Georgia, Florida, and New Jersey will each run 1 mile tonight to honor an officer. First run starts at 6 p.m. The organization Running for Heroes is behind this effort. It encourages people across the country to go on their own 1 mile walks or runs tonight to remember the men who died.
Happening right now, the North Carolina Black Alliance's Divine Nine fraternities and sororities are sharing their concerns with state lawmakers. WRAL's Julian Grace is there live. And Julian, those in attendance have Governor Cooper's attention.
Oh, Renee, you're absolutely right. And what a beautiful day to have his attention right here under the tent. It is a packed house, or I should say a packed tent for today's discussion. Now, let me run through exactly what is happening today. This day started at 9 this morning. Now, the group has laid out an agenda that includes election protection, healthcare access, and educational equity. Those in attendance listened to Governor Cooper as he touched on the importance of public education, teacher pay, and voting rights. Now, North Carolina House Democratic leader Robert Reeves says the annual gathering is vital in addressing critical issues.
This event is significant to me because obviously as a member of a fraternity and also it's a chance for all of our black fraternities and sororities to come together that are based here in North Carolina to really get a chance to see what we do, to talk about what's going on, the issues that matter to us.
Let's talk about one of the big topics discussed out here today, HBCU funding. We'll find out exactly where North Carolina stands on that later tonight at 5:30. Renee?
Julian Grace, live in Raleigh. Julian, thanks.
Serious allegations from North Carolina's top Democratic state senator. Senator Dan Blue says Republican leaders are blocking Democrats from looking into how millions of taxpayer dollars are being spent. It's about conservative religious groups that receive state funding, private schools, and anti-abortion pregnancy centers. Democrats say GOP leaders are shielding those groups' records, but those groups say Democrats are picking on them for political points.
When you're starting to spend hundreds of millions or billions of taxpayer dollars, we need transparency and we need to know what the results are.
All of this just feels like a direct attack to try and shut pregnancy centers down.
Republican leaders didn't immediately respond to our request for comment on the Democrats' accusations. For updates on this story, go to the NC Capitol section of WRAL.com.
Dozens of people are at the state legislature talking to lawmakers about issues affecting the Asian American community. The group North Carolina Asian Americans Together is hosting today's Advocacy Day. They're focusing on three main issues: DEI and ethnic studies, the establishment of an independent redistricting commission, and protecting voters' rights.
We need to be that squeaky wheel showing up and say we are here and we deserve to be recognized.
The legislature's short session overlaps with Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. The executive director of NCAAT also spoke out against a bill that would force sheriffs to cooperate with immigration and customs enforcement. Instead, she said state laws should make North Carolina safer and more supportive of immigrants.
Some state leaders say they are frustrated with the stalling of rules that would limit pollution. This is specifically about forever chemicals in ground and surface water. The delay comes after pushback from the NC Chamber. It sent a letter to the Department of Environmental Quality. Forever chemicals, known as PFAS, have been linked to health effects, including cancer. New federal drinking water standards require water systems to pay for filtration systems to remove those chemicals. The DEQ secretary says regulations to prevent PFAS pollution at the source will cut those costs for ratepayers.
My frustration is making sure I think we can all agree that everything shouldn't be borne by our residents, that the folks who are putting PFAS in the environment should also participate in the cleaning up of this pollution so that we are able to make sure that we're protecting public health.
The Environmental Management Commission is meeting today, but will not have a vote on the standards. WRAL's climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin will have details on this story tonight.
Durham police are investigating a shooting that injured a man. Officers found the man just before midnight in the 2600 block of Lawndale Avenue. The victim's car was found near the intersection of West Knox Street and Alabama Avenue around the corner. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker spent the morning near the scene as police gathered evidence. Officers believe the victim crashed into two other parked vehicles. The victim was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Call police if you have any information about this that can help. A Wilson County deputy will not face charges in the shooting of an Army reservist having a mental health crisis. 22-year-old Lamore Spate was killed when deputies responded to a home in Saratoga last September. The sheriff says deputies tried to de-escalate the situation. Then Spate put a deputy in a headlock and reached for the deputy's gun. That's when Deputy Bruce White shot and killed Spate. The Wilson County DA reviewed the results of the SBI investigation and said White's use of force was justified.
A new sign of growth at RDU International Airport today, where you are looking live by way of the WRAL Live Cam Network. Today, Alaska Airlines made the jump over to Terminal 1. The Alaska bag drop and check-in is right next to Breeze, which also just recently moved to Terminal 1 last month. RDU says the move is being made to maximize gate space in both terminals. This terminal also has 8 food and beverage options, including Raleigh Beer Garden, which is coming there soon.
Follow-up is free. They score! Vincent Trocheck wins it in overtime for New York.
With 2 losses in their series with the Rangers, the Hurricanes have to get a win. Former Kane Vincent Trocheck scored the goal in double overtime last night to give the Rangers the 4-3 win in Game 2. The Canes are coming back home for their next 2 games. Game 3 is tomorrow night at 7 at PNC Arena. After the game, be sure to watch WRAL for our exclusive post-game live coverage that starts at 11:25 p.m.
Next at noon, shocking video here of a plane landing in Turkey, skidding to a halt on its nose, and it's a Boeing airliner again. What the pilot of this 767 told the control tower about the problem.
Also, an unintentional flight, how a car went airborne in Arizona, and what happened to the driver.
Plus, anti-Semitism defined more clearly. At 12:30, we check in with our Capitol Bureau chief on what NC lawmakers are discussing with a new bill.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
You're looking live at a gray sky over downtown Raleigh. We're still a few hours away from when the rain arrives. And once that rain starts, showers and storms will continue through the night and into the early morning hours tomorrow. You're watching WRAL News, available on Hulu and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device.
Here's a pretty dramatic video showing a FedEx cargo plane landing on its nose in Istanbul, Turkey. This Boeing 767 took off from Paris this morning, and it's pretty shocking footage showing the moment that plane attempted an emergency landing, smashing down into the runway, scraping its nose along the concrete. Smoke and sparks could be seen as the plane screeched across that runway before coming to a stop safely. The pilot alerted the air traffic control tower that its landing gear wouldn't deploy properly, and firefighters and rescue teams there were waiting at the scene. No one was injured. A surveillance camera captured wild video of a car lost control and went airborne right there. This is a Phoenix neighborhood. The car flying through the air, slamming into a utility pole right above a man's shed. Fortunately, he was not hurt. Once officers got there to the scene, they found alcohol bottles in and around the vehicle. Police say the driver ran away before they got there.
I felt and heard thunder shaking the house for about 4 seconds. And then a bright flash, extremely bright. I thought I would get a sunburn from it being so bright. And all the electricity went out immediately.
The police say the car had not been reported stolen. The driver could face various traffic violations and a charge of leaving the scene of an accident.
A U.S. citizen who was sent back to the U.S. from Syria now faces criminal charges for allegedly training with ISIS abroad. Halima Salman is accused of learning how to use an AK-47 assault rifle with the ISIS terrorist group while she was living in Syria. Salman entered the ISIS-controlled area around late 2016 or early 2017. Prosecutors say once she turned 18 years old, she received training from ISIS. Last year, Salman told the FBI she married an ISIS fighter, but denied being involved in any ISIS activities. The body of the 6th person killed in that catastrophic bridge collapse in Baltimore has been recovered. Investigators identified the victim as the 6th construction worker presumed killed in the collapse, Jose Minor Lopez. A container ship crashed into the Key Bridge on March 26. Crews rescued 2 people, but 6 members of a construction crew working on the bridge were unable to get to safety. The FBI is conducting a criminal investigation into the collapse.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we're following some breaking news in Cumberland County right now. A gas leak. This is a live look from Sky 5. The Fayetteville Fire Department, including hazardous material teams, were dispatched to this gas leak. This is on Anona Drive. The first arriving unit on scene reported an active natural gas leak from a line that had been struck by a construction crew. You can see this is very close to a home. Seven residences in that area have been evacuated just as a precaution. Piedmont Natural Gas has also been notified. I've seen about at least six people on scene there. You can see the crane, so they are working to get this resolved. Again, this is happening on Anona Drive. As soon as we learn anything else about the situation, I will update you here in the Live Center.
Thanks, Michelle. Severe weather continues to affect millions of people nationwide. A string of powerful tornadoes left a trail of destruction in several states. NBC's Maggie Vespa reports on widespread damage in Michigan following a tornado outbreak.
It was mayhem in the Midwest after yet another round of destructive storms tore through the region.
That's a tornado, large tornado, right here in view.
Multiple reported tornadoes touching down in Michigan late Tuesday, sending terrified residents fleeing for cover.
We need to go to the basement. Grab the dogs.
In Portage, Michigan, a fast-moving funnel ripping apart this FedEx shipment center, trapping close to 50 people inside for hours. The company telling NBC News no one was seriously hurt.
The city's been decimated by the tornado.
Nearby, in another part of the city, mobile homes obliterated.
Anybody in here?
One house completely flipped off its foundation. Neighbors rushing to help neighbors.
You okay? Yeah, I'm okay. All right.
As rescue crews assess the damage here, more nighttime storms spawned across the Midwest, all of it less than 24 hours after more than two dozen tornadoes pounded the plains on Monday. This massive twister, now rated an EF4, taking a fatal turn in Barnesdale, Oklahoma.
Everywhere around me, it's a war zone. It's all gone.
The intense system completely flattening houses and toppling trucks in the small community. In nearby Bartlesville, visitors forced to hunker down in hotel rooms.
We all just went running and the windows popped out of the hallways.
Now, as the cleanup gets underway, the devastating storms are barreling east with millions more in their path.
Maggie Vespa reporting. I feel like we've been talking about this for a week now with Texas and Missouri and it moving through the Midwest now with such destruction. We're in line for it, not to that level.
Sure. We're under a level two risk for severe weather, and the timing of these storms, that's what's the most dangerous to hitting during the night. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRSUBURBA Weather Center, and that's when a lot of folks are sleeping, Elizabeth.
Yeah, you want to make sure that you have a way to get an alarm if we do have a severe thunderstorm warning or certainly a tornado warning that happens when you might be sleeping. So do your best to make that happen before you go to bed tonight. We do have weather alert days today and tomorrow. The best chance of storms will be this evening, tonight, all the way through Thursday morning, with waves continuing through that period. You know, a lot of times we'll see storms, you know, starting to die down after midnight and then redeveloping the next afternoon. This is going to be continuous overnight tonight and probably have a big effect on our morning commute as well. The front arrives then on Friday with another round of afternoon storms. Right now, we're not expecting those to be severe, but that's something that we're going to be watching very closely. We have a string of severe thunderstorm watches, tornado watches, all the way into western North Carolina. We have a couple of severe thunderstorm warnings that are sitting right over the mountains right now. And of course, that is from some severe weather that was here right along the Kentucky-Tennessee line. It continues to shift eastward toward North Carolina. We're going to see that later on this afternoon and evening. So we do have that level two risk for severe storms. I do want to point out that in some of the areas where we had those tornado outbreaks, it was a level four or five risk for severe storms, and ours is a level two. We have the potential for isolated tornadoes. Now, it only takes one tornado to cause a lot of problems. However, we're not likely to have multiple ongoing tornadoes out of this system, but we may have strong damaging straight line winds and some large hail, some heavy rain with this too. Again, for tonight and tomorrow, here's a look at that severe thunderstorm watch from Charlotte westward. This extends until 4 p.m. There's certainly the chance that we would have that extended into our area tonight and for parts of tomorrow. Let's go through Futurecast again. We're going to see mostly cloudy skies this afternoon. We're seeing a lot of cloud cover out there right now. And then by the time we get to 6 or 7 o'clock, we begin to see the cells developing, and they just keep on coming overnight. There's midnight with widespread severe severe thunderstorm potential. And then as we get into the morning commute, there's 6 a.m. and on through, say, 7, 8 o'clock. Things begin to die down a little bit as we get toward 8 or 9 o'clock, but we may not be quite finished. There could still be a few isolated storms all the way through around lunchtime. Most likely, we're going to be dry after that. We can't completely cross off the chance of seeing an isolated thunderstorm Thursday afternoon or evening, but it really looks like the bulk of this will be finished by around lunchtime. It feels just like summer out there right now. Here's a live look at Chapel Hill. I was hoping to catch some, see a lot of people out there walking around shorts and t-shirts. It feels like a July day. It's 86 degrees and our humidity is right up there at our dew points at 70. That's what we see in July. So take a look at our heat index. It feels like 91 in Durham and Raleigh. It feels like 95 in Rocky Mount and Goldsboro already feels like 90 in Fayetteville. We'll easily feel like 95 to maybe even 98 in some places this afternoon. 92 Durham and Raleigh, 94 in Fayetteville officially. But again, we're sitting at tropical right now with that muggy meter. And so it's going to feel pretty uncomfortable today and tomorrow. But once we get into the weekend, once that front comes through Friday, it's going to feel so much better. So a comfortable weekend and our forecast, the humidity will be gone and temperatures will definitely be cooler. Coming up, we're going to take another look at what is going to happen on Friday when the front itself comes through.
Elizabeth, thanks. The man accused of killing a woman and leaving her body in the woods of a Wake County neighborhood appears in court today. Coming up at 4, the latest developments from inside the courtroom.
Then at 5, Raleigh city leaders approved $5 million to pay for a new program to help people experiencing homelessness. How they say it'll save taxpayers money in the long run. And still ahead this noon, after traveling nearly 5,500 miles, the Olympic flame arrives in France under unrivaled security when the symbol of the ancient games resumes its journey to the French capital.
If you or your family plans to travel soon, now is the time to take care of a very important document, the new deadline to get the real ID.
We are 79 days away now from the opening ceremony of the 2024 Paris Olympic Games, and today the Olympic flame reached Marseille. The ship left Greece late last month with the flame after it was lit in ancient Olympia. The Belem was greeted by over 1,000 boats. The torch relay begins tomorrow with more than 10,000 people taking part in the relay before the flame reaches the Louvre. Now, the Olympic opening ceremony is July 26th.
You now have until May 7th of next year to get a real ID driver's license or ID card. And the Department of Homeland Security says the deadline is for real this time. Originally, you may remember the deadline was in 2020. That got pushed back. If you fail to meet this deadline, you will not be able to board flights or access federal facilities unless you show a passport. Time is running out to claim more than $1 billion in tax refunds from 2020. American taxpayers have until next Friday to file their 2020 tax return to become eligible for a refund. There's no penalty for failure to file if a refund is due. However, a return claiming a refund must be filed within 3 years of its due date for a refund to be allowed.
Amazon is providing new shopping experiences to its streaming service. The company will introduce 3 new formats for ads. Each format will allow users to interact with ads while watching Prime Video. Carousel ads will feature a sliding list of products during commercial breaks. Pause ads appear when a user pauses the video. And brand trivia ads will let users learn more information about a product or company.
Dueling protests at the North Carolina Legislative Building over a bill that proposes a broad new definition of anti-Semitism. Why some say the change is too broad and others say it's necessary to have in writing.
Plus, research shows Ozempic increases a woman's chances of getting pregnant, but they say there is no reason to be concerned about the health of the baby. We'll hear more about these findings coming up. And here are your winning NC Education lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
State House lawmakers are expected to vote this afternoon on a bill that would add a broad definition of anti-Semitism to state law.
It would use a definition created by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. Some say the definition is too broad and could limit the right to free speech. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie was at the two dueling news conferences this morning. Laura.
Renee, the new definition is really pretty universal. It's pretty comprehensive. And some say it could be interpreted to limit criticism of the Israeli government. That's a divisive issue even within the Jewish community. And state lawmakers gathered with local Jewish leaders this morning to promote the bill. Phil Brodsky with the Jewish Federation of Greater Raleigh said they've been tracking increasing incidents of anti-Semitism since even before October 7th. He thinks it's more important than ever to write a definition of it into state law now because of the protests that have been taking place at college campuses in the past few months.
Watching them, the Jewish community has been stunned by the overt hatred we are seeing on signs, the intimidation targeted at students solely because they are Jewish, and the calls for Israel's destruction. Calls for Israel's destruction are beyond the pale.
By conflating and connecting the protection of all Jewish people with limitations on criticism of the state of Israel, the bill's sponsors get to exploit Jews for political gain. They ignore the vast expanse of Jewish identity and views that we contain multitudes.
Abby Lublin with Carolina Jews for Justice said the bill has done nothing to stop anti-Semitism in the 31 other states that have already adopted the definition. She doesn't think it will help here either, but it will allow law enforcement to crack down on protests against Israel's military tactics in Gaza. House Speaker Tim Moore said the measure would not apply to speech that is protected by the First Amendment, which would, of course, include the right to protest politically. But it would be up to local law enforcement to decide what speech is and is not protected. Renee?
Laura Leslie, live at the Legislative Building.
Pro-Palestinian protesters in Raleigh say they're planning another demonstration later this week. This was the scene in downtown last night as hundreds marched for their cause. Raleigh police blocked off some streets as the group marched near Moore Square. Before the march, the crowd rallied in the park. They want North Carolinians to do more to help stop the war in Gaza. A drone display lit up the sky over the Statue of Liberty overnight. It called for the release of hostages being held in Gaza by Hamas. 500 drones were used to convey that message. Israeli officials believe 128 hostages remain in Gaza and that at least 34 of them are dead.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, a Georgia court will consider an appeal from former President Donald Trump in the election interference case. Trump is appealing a ruling from back in March that did not disqualify District Attorney Fani Willis from overseeing the case. Willis was accused of misconduct for allegedly benefiting from her relationship with Special Prosecutor Nathan Wade. A trial date had not been set yet for the 2020 election interference case in Georgia.
Michelle, thanks. Firefighters in Cary are trying to determine what started a house fire there this morning. This happened on Brandywine Drive off Trinity Road just after 3 this morning. A lot of the damage our crew saw on scene appeared to be within the garage. Firefighters had the fire under control within an hour and a half. At last check, no injuries were reported. Fire destroyed 2 vacant homes in Fayetteville. This is video of the scene on Mary Street from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. Firefighters put out the flames. Investigators say there were no injuries. They're looking into how the fire started.
If you pay taxes in Wake County, more of your money could be going to public schools. The school board unanimously approved a budget last night that requests additional money from the county to pay for raises. Now, it's far from a done deal here. The now approved budget proposal asks for more than $63 million in additional local money. That is to help cover a 4% salary supplement for teachers, a raise to $17.75 an hour for cafeteria and maintenance workers, and a minimum pay of $20 an hour for bus drivers. But the county's budget proposal includes only $49 million in additional school funding. School board members are hopeful the county will meet their request.
This is about the livelihood of our staff. We have to remember that. We know it's a big ask, but these are your constituents.
County commissioners plan to hold hearings and work sessions on the budget in the next month, and they plan to approve the budget June 3rd.
A North Carolina woman is fighting thousands of dollars in unauthorized charges after a restaurant employee posted her credit card online. Rhonda Deaver is a regular at Smith's Cafe after her weekly doctor's appointment. Last week, she left her card, so an employee took pictures of the front and back and posted it in a Kinston Facebook group, hoping to find the credit card's owner. Well, the post did not block out the credit card number, so you can guess what happened.
I live on a fixed income, and
there's not like there's extra money every month to cover those bills that somebody else charged on my card.
Deaver says some of the charges have been removed, others were rejected. The Better Business Bureau says no one should post a credit card or identification online to find a person.
Women who take Ozempic may be more likely to get pregnant. The guidance doctors have on this possible side effect of the weight loss drug.
And why one of the early makers of the COVID-19 vaccine is calling it quits with its version of the vaccine. When storms roll in, we want to see what's happening in your neighborhood. Make sure it's safe to take pictures or video. Then look for the Report It link on WRAL.com or on the WRAL News app.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, 9 out of 10 wrongful death lawsuits filed after that deadly crowd surge at the 2021 Astroworld Festival have been settled. 10 people died during the crowd rush at the November 5th, 2021 concert by Travis Scott. Live Nation, the festival's promoter, said only one wrongful death lawsuit remained pending. More than 4,000 plaintiffs filed hundreds of lawsuits because of this. A grand jury last year declined to indict Scott along with five others that were connected to the festival.
Michelle, thanks for that update. Researchers are calming fears for women who might get pregnant while taking Ozempic. The drug increases a woman's chance of getting pregnant for two reasons. Weight loss is generally associated with increased fertility, and the drug can also make birth control pills less effective. Researchers say studies have not shown major causes for concern, and more studies are underway. Doctors recommend that women stop taking the drugs 2 months before they try to get pregnant. AstraZeneca is withdrawing its COVID-19 vaccine due to a decline in demand. The vaccine, developed in partnership with the University of Oxford, has been one of the main COVID-19 vaccines worldwide. The partnership supplied more than 3 billion doses since the first was administered in the UK in 2021. But the vaccine has not generated revenue for AstraZeneca since April 2023.
Researchers have found a pair of genes that can predict whether you'll develop Alzheimer's. Experts say those with two copies of the APOE4 gene develop Alzheimer's up to 10 years sooner than others. While the gene was thought to be just a risk factor, new research indicates that it can be an underlying cause for the disease itself. The study shows almost all people with the two genes show signs of early onset Alzheimer's when symptoms start by age 50.
We can see that basically everybody with the two alleles of E4 eventually develop Alzheimer's pathology and eventually also develop symptoms of Alzheimer's disease. So that indicates that it is not just a risk factor, but that it's a strong predictor that these individuals would develop Alzheimer's pathology.
More than 6 million Americans have Alzheimer's disease. Still, there is no cure. Experts recommend seeking advice from your doctor if you have a family history of Alzheimer's.
A Chicago teenager is in a class by herself.
I got my associate's going on 11 and my bachelor's going on 13. My master's at 15.
All those degrees before she turned 18. After the break, how this now 18-year-old plans to put her newly earned doctorate to use.
Talk about overachievers.
Wow.
A pair of delivery platforms is teaming up to expand its services to customers. How this collaboration benefits clients.
Our teacher of the week first discovered music and then her love for teaching. WRL's Ken Smith is in Johnston County to surprise a music teacher who strikes a high note with all her students.
And one, two, ready. One, two, three.
When Caitlin Faircloth conducts her music classes, it's a symphony of motion and melodies. Her discovery of music actually got her through her own high school years while coping with dyslexia.
Music was the one place that I actually excelled and succeeded.
As the director of band at Swift Creek Middle, Mrs. Faircloth pours her heart and soul into music and her students.
My passion is to give these kids the space to perform music and just to have a blast just like I got when I was in high school.
And you're not afraid to pick up an instrument?
No, I can actually play all of them.
It's her way of teaching by example.
I find students find it better when they see, oh, she can actually do it. And even when I make a mistake, they're like, oh my gosh, she's human. She can actually like make a mistake too. And one, two, 11, two, ready.
Mrs. Faircloth, you are WREL's Teacher of the Week. Congratulations. How about a round of applause for Mrs. Faircloth? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Ken Smith, WREL News.
If you'd like to nominate a teacher, go to WREL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
An 18-year-old from Chicago is enjoying life like most teens. She loves to dance, paint, and she just graduated. But not from high school. Dorothy Jean Tillman just earned her Ph.D., her research focused on reducing stigma among college students who use campus mental health services. Tillman is dedicated to STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. She's even developed a program called the Dorothy Genius STEAM Leadership Institute in Chicago and West Cape Town, South Africa.
I never really thought that this would be like what it turned into, but once I started, you know, getting into higher education, I kind of just, every time I completed something, I thought like, what's next? And now I'm here.
Tillman credits her mother with her academic success. She's also the granddaughter of former Chicago Third Ward Alderman Dorothy Tillman. That is a family of greatness right there. And worldwide, taking it all the way to South Africa as well.
Yeah, talent, success clearly runs in the family there. That's amazing.
Speaking of talent, success, Elizabeth Gardner is the one who comes right off the top of my mind when I talk about that.
Who? He's trying to get me to bring some donuts in tomorrow morning.
Something like that. It's weather alert day.
Yeah.
Come on.
It is going to be a busy day tomorrow. Jeff, you're the one who needs to bring donuts in tomorrow because we're going to be busy, busy, busy. So we do have this system that's headed our way. We have a string of severe thunderstorm watches, tornado watches that are creating this or part of this line of thunderstorms. A few ongoing severe thunderstorms that are sitting over the peak of the mountains right there, North Carolina, Tennessee line. And of course, we have the severe thunderstorm watch. It expires at 4 o'clock and it's from Charlotte westward. We will most likely at some point later this afternoon or this evening go under a severe thunderstorm watch as well. Damaging winds, hail, isolated tornadoes are possible as all this gets kicked up sometime this evening and then continues overnight and into the morning commute. We do sometimes have severe storms in the morning, but it's not something that we see on a regular basis like we see during the evenings. And so something to keep in mind as you're making your plans for your morning commute, just make sure that you're aware we could have some severe weather as you're trying to head out the door tomorrow. So late this evening, tonight into around the middle of the day tomorrow, and then another round on Friday afternoon before we're completely finished with the system. Of course, it's a level 2 risk for severe storms, damaging winds, heavy rain, isolated tornadoes, even hail, and the same thing on Thursday. But it's not that we're going to see it Wednesday and again Thursday. We're going to see it starting this evening, continuing overnight and into around lunchtime on Thursday. That's going to be our best chance for severe storms. So once again, we're seeing increasing clouds this afternoon. Once we get to, say, 6, 7 o'clock, we start to see some of these cells developing, and they become much more widespread as we get closer to midnight. Look at that. A good amount of coverage there. And that continues all the way into the morning commute. You can see these cells that look like they're probably going to be producing some heavy rain, possibly some straight-line winds or isolated tornadoes. Once we get to the middle of the morning, it begins to ease up a little bit, but we may not see the last bit coming through until around lunchtime. And there might be a few that pop up tomorrow afternoon or evening, but it looks like for the most part, once we get this out of here at lunchtime, we'll be finished with it for the day. But the cold front itself will still be hanging out to the west. So we'll wake up Friday morning to partly cloudy skies. And then around lunchtime, we're going to see this line of thunderstorms. There's 2 p.m. We'll move it on out to 5 o'clock. It'll be a fairly fast mover, but it is also likely to bring some heavy rain and possibly some damaging winds. With that damaging wind potential, we also have the chance for some power outages. Right now, it looks like our threat for that would be isolated tonight, tomorrow, and again on Friday. And we'll also see some heavy rain. We need some rain for sure. We'll see anywhere from 1/2 inch to about 1.5 inches of rain between this evening and Friday evening. Once this moves out late Friday, we're going to see an absolutely gorgeous weekend. It's really warm and sticky out there right now. It's going to feel like mid to upper 90s through the afternoon, but low humidity Saturday and Sunday, perfect for a Mother's Day weekend. If you're planning to do anything outside Saturday or Sunday, it's really going to look and feel nice. And that trend continues into next week. So it's just tonight and through the first half of the day tomorrow. And then again, late on Friday, you just need to make sure that you're weather aware. If thunderstorms start to come through your area, turn on the TV no matter what time it is. If we have severe weather, we'll be on TV.
Some rough days ahead into a nice weekend. Thanks, Elizabeth. Fresh out of the eek files, a good Samaritan thought they found a litter of kittens behind their shed and took them to the Humane Society. Well, this story proves things are not always what they seem.
Eek. Goodness. Winning Mega Millions numbers on your screen. 26, 28, 36, 63, 66. Mega Ball, 15. The Mega Pliers, 3.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
North Carolina Department of Adult Corrections annual Fallen Heroes Memorial Ceremony has new meaning this year. Governor Roy Cooper spoke at the event where special recognition was given to two DAC officers who were killed in Charlotte last week. Their names and others were read during the ceremony, along with words of reflection on the risks law enforcement officers take every day.
The North Carolina Chamber is pushing back on rules about forever chemicals in ground and surface water. New federal drinking water standards require water systems to pay for filtration systems to remove the chemicals. The DEQ secretary says regulations to prevent PFAS pollution at the source will cut those costs for ratepayers.
UNC Chapel Hill announced additional safety measures for its spring commencement ceremony after its campus has seen several protests the last few weeks. New this year, graduates will need to present their UNC One card to enter the seating area. A clear bag policy will also be in effect, and the school provided a list of several prohibited items.
It was a huge night on The Voice for Goldsboro native Tay Lewis. He made it through to the next round and will compete in the top nine next week.
Tay Lewis, you're in. Team Dan and Shay.
He was instantly saved by viewers last night after being in the bottom four. Monday night, he performed his coaches Dan and Shay's song, 19 You and Me. Josh Sanders, who's from Kannapolis, also made it through to the next round. You can watch them both perform again next Monday night on WREL at 8 p.m. You'll be able to order from Uber Eats by using the Instacart app. Until now, the companies have been rivals. The move will bring more customers to Uber Eats and more business to Instacart. Uber will pay a fee to Instacart for every restaurant order. Customers will be able to place an order on Uber Eats without leaving the Instacart app. The companies say they will not share drivers.
Animal shelters are seeing lots of stray kittens in neighborhoods across the country, and a person in Phoenix thought they'd rescued some kittens. Turns out they were pups. Fox pups, that is. The litter was snuggled behind the Good Samaritan's shed, so they took them to the Arizona Humane Society. The organization examined the babies and quickly determined they're fox pups. These pups were transferred to a wildlife conservation center. These gray foxes will be rehabilitated and then released back into the wild.
They are so cute when they're that little. Our pet of the day from Cat Angels really is a kitten. This sweet little boy who loves to see what you are doing around the house. This is Hayes. At only 8 months old, he's still a kitten. He's going to be curious about everything. So prepare for lots of slow blinks, purrs, nose boops, and biscuits. Hayes loves just about any toy and will get along well with other cats. So if you'd like to meet this handsome boy in person, fill out an application on the Cat Angels website.
Duke Hospital has gotten some negative attention, being named some of the longest emergency department wait times in the country. Coming up today at 4, we'll hear from the head of the department about why the information from that study is outdated.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
We'll see you again.
Stay safe with the latest WREL Weather Alert Day info. Get up to the minute weather and traffic conditions when you get in your car. In Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.